chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. And certainly, as we've seen, the first 8 chapters of Romans are the doctrinal heart of the entire Bible. This is the hub, this is the axle. Everything spreads from Romans 8, or from Romans chapter 1 to chapter 8. And that is your heart of Scripture. And so, very important. And in this section, as we have seen, we've got the sin of man, we've got the justification of the sinner, we've got the sanctification of the believer. So, 3 important things: sin of man, how a sinner is justified before God, and while we're not yet home yet in heaven, how we're sanctified to live a holy life while we're still here on earth. And then under the sin of man, we saw that there were 3 basic kinds of sinners. In chapter 1, you had what would be called maybe the bad sinner. In chapter 2, you have the so-called good sinner. In chapter 2 also, you have the so-called religious sinner. But all have sinned. All are lost. Those that are overtly sinners, those who are covertly sinners, all are lost. Those who go to church and are sinners, those who don't go to church, all are lost apart from faith in Christ. And then, in case we have missed anyone, in chapter 3, verse 10, if we've missed anybody in that great gathering that come before the bar of God and hear the verdict, guilty, in case we've missed someone, there's none righteous, no, not one. 3, verse 10. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. 3:23. All in the same boat. All lost. All will miss heaven's gate. All will go to hell apart from faith in Christ. All. As a matter of fact, you go to chapter 3 and verse 12, it speaks about all unprofitable, none righteous, none that understandeth, none that seeketh after God, none that doeth good, at least as far as meriting salvation. All lost. And so how that is the place, that is the verdict for everyone. How is there a bridge across that great precipice, that great abyss, that we may travel to reach heaven's gate? Indeed, there is. We saw last week that chapter 3 is divided into 2 parts. First part, the bad news. Second part, the good news. And this morning, we saw the bad news last week. This morning, we've got the good news. The good news. And is Sam not with us today? He's not with us. Did you want to read? If you'd read for us verse 21 to 31, please, of chapter 3.
Romans chapter 3, verse 21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all, and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just, and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he not the God of the Jews only? Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also, seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. May God add his blessing to his word this morning.
Let's bow for prayer. Our Father, today we thank thee for the way, the bridge that was erected over that terrible precipice, the great cliffs of eternity, and no end in sight, and a way out. And so we're thankful for that today. We're thankful that we can read about it. We know, Lord, we've come to one of the most compressed scriptures in the entire Bible on great doctrinal truth that we've just read and just heard. And we do pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit will enlighten us as we seek to gain an understanding and a grasp of it, and know, Lord, that we have truly, it's not just faith that's come to us, but or salvation that's come to us, but salvation that's come upon us, that it's been imputed to our life. So, Lord, do bless today whatever may be the need in a heart. Help that heart, Lord, to know that they are resting in Christ. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other is sinking sand. And Lord, bless, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, in these chapters, beginning at verse 21 and extending through chapter 5, we have the second main truth of the doctrinal part of Romans. We've had the sin of man. We now have the justification of the sinner. In chapter 3, it's described and explained. In chapter 4, it's illustrated with David and Abraham from the Old Testament. And in chapter 5, we see the results of justification, what the result is. And so here in chapter 3, the Holy Spirit declares that a plan of salvation that brings glory to God alone, because we cannot we glory because of it, but we can't glory because we had any merit in ourselves. It wasn't our rituals. It wasn't our works. It wasn't by trying to keep the Ten Commandments that we are saved. No, it's all the glory to God. It was His hand that reached down and plucked us up out of the miry clay. Psalms 40, verse 2, I believe, or verse 7, It was His hand. It's glory that brings glory to His justice. It brings glory to His grace. It's all of Him, all of Him. And so to begin with today, we observe several things about this righteousness. We can't go to heaven whether we're a so-called self-righteous good sinner, whether we're a so-called bad sinner, whether we're a so-called religious sinner. We can't go to heaven in that state. It's only in His righteousness. And how this is now manifested, how this way of salvation is shown to us, is here given in these verses. You'll notice it is manifested. It is manifested. That very word there is given in verse 21. But the righteousness of God without the law, not by keeping the law. You can keep British law forever, but it will not make you a citizen of Britain. You have to do something else. And you could try to keep the Ten Commandments forever, but it wouldn't make you a citizen of heaven. It wouldn't give you a right to heaven's gate. But you'll notice it is manifested. It is shown. It is an open way. It is a highway. It's a plain way. It's not a difficult way. It's like the serpent of brass lifted up. All could see it. It's like the way to the city of refuge. There were road markers. The roads were kept clear for the one in the book of Joshua, as it's described, running to the city of refuge. It's like the door to the ark. You could see the ark on the horizon. You could see in the side of the ark a door. The door was open for a long time, but then the door shut. And so it's manifested. It's a plain way. It's a way that one could not possibly miss. And it is also, you'll notice, and I'm off to a great start. I've already got my points. I'm on point number one. Okay, it's a manifested way. Somehow I've ended up with point number four. I can't quite figure that out. Anyway, it's a way that is clear. Number two, yes, I've got it here. It's always nice to be in order. And it's without works. It's without the law. It's not by works of righteousness. We know that. What shall we do that we might work the works of God? This is the work of God, that we believe on Him whom He has sent. John 6:28 and 29. And this is His commandment, 1 John 3, verse 23, that we should believe on the name of His Son. And so it's a commandment we keep, but it's a commandment to faith. It's a commandment to faith. And so that's the second point. And though it's not by the works of the law, it was witnessed to by the law and the prophets, and we could add the Psalms in the Old Testament, by the great sections of the Bible. When we begin our overview, we will bring to your notice that the Bible is divided into great overviews, and each of these overviews pictured and pointed to Christ, so much so that when you get to the New Testament, in Acts chapter 10, verse 43, it says, "To him gave all the prophets witness that whosoever believeth in his name should not perish, but have everlasting life." So it's a way that is witnessed to in the Old Testament. They were saved the same way. They looked forward to Christ. Job, even before the law, could say, "I know that my Redeemer liveth." Abraham could say, "Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it, was glad." John 8:56. And so it was witnessed to by the law and the prophets. And then, and by the way, as we go give you this overview, that is one of the points that we will be emphasizing, how that Christ is in all the Scriptures. Christ in chapter 5, verse 46 says, Moses wrote of me. And that is the chief point in all of the Bible. Christ is in all of Scripture. It all points to the Lord Jesus Christ and that cross upon which he died. And all of the sacrifices, all of the rituals, the priesthood, the offerings, everything. And then it is, according to verse 22, it was witnessed to by the law of the prophets. It is without works of the law, our second point. But number four, it is by the faith of Christ. Now that's a rather unusual phrase. You know, the prepositions in the Bible, and particularly in this section, the prepositions we will take note of because they teach important truths. We will have to understand them correctly. The faith of Christ means Christ is in it all. It's a faith, but it's a faith of which he is the entire object. It's not toward anyone or anything else. It's the faith way, but faith in what? Oh, you must have faith. And we were thinking about prisons, and they had Trevor McDonald was showing a prison in South Africa, and you know how they dealt with these prisoners, and that's why we feel so strongly for Mike Nielsen, because Mike really goes in there and gives them the gospel, and he's been doing it for 25 years. Now he's got to stop, or he's got to greatly relinquish what he's doing. And here they were glorifying the fact that they were teaching these prisoners. I know this is going to do a lot of good now. Hold on. Yoga. And it showed them standing in a yoga pose. And I thought, well, what's on earth is that going to do for them? And so, no, we need Christ. It's the faith of Christ. Christ is the object. It's faith in him. It's the old way. It's my Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. Christ, receiving Christ, embracing Christ. And so it is by the faith of Christ. Christ is the object of all that we see here. And then it is, here's another example of prepositions. I'd hate to tell you how long it was as I was going to school before I knew what a preposition was, but I have begun to have a bit of a better understanding. You'll notice it's by the faith which is in Christ, of Christ, the faith of Christ, unto, in verse 22, unto all and upon all that believe. Now, this is important. It's unto everyone here. You can all come. But that's not far enough. Make sure that you go from the unto to the upon, that you've actually received it upon yourself. It's come to you. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to every man. It's appeared to you. It's to you. You have heard it. You can't say, oh, I never heard. Because before you leave the world, you will have heard in one day, in one way or another. Even the entrance of his word giveth light. And as Dot has pointed out a couple of times recently in speaking to someone, even giving understanding to the simple, maybe those that are not in full grasp of all of their faculties, it will reach everyone. It's to everyone, to everyone. But make sure in these prepositions, We go from a to, from the unto to the upon. Oh, it's upon me. Oh, yes. I have him now. I receive him. I believe on him. I've tried it. He's my Savior. So it's to all and upon all that believe. And then we'll look at this further, but in verse 24, it glorified. Let me just back up here. It's a manifested way. That's the first thing we observe. And then it's a way that emphasizes that it's for God's glory. The way that he saves us brings all the glory to him. There's nothing, oh, I'm such a wonderful person because I... No, there's nothing like that at all. He did it all. So this way of salvation, this bridge that we're crossing over, it's a manifested bridge. You can see it. You can't possibly miss it. But secondly, it is a bridge that brings all the glory to God alone. It glorifies his grace, being justified freely by his grace. Nothing in sinful man could ever merit it. We couldn't pay enough for it. The debt is too heavy. Couldn't pay enough for it. But he paid, and he paid very dearly, but he paid for it himself. We'll look at that word redemption in just a moment. And then it glorifies his justice and his righteousness. You let a prisoner go free, that may not be an act of grace. That may be carelessness or something else. It may be he doesn't deserve, or he may be let free to commit another crime. So it glorifies his justice and his righteousness, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. We'll come to that point in just a moment. We'll look at propitiation. That means a satisfactory offering. It means a mercy seat. It means God could be satisfied in what he has done, because the mercy seat that held the Ten Commandments is now sprinkled with blood, and rather than being a judgment seat, it's a mercy seat. That's one of the ideas of that word propitiation. It means satisfactory. Then it goes on to say that he might be just and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. So he's the just justifier. The way he does it, it brings glory to his absolute justice. And so that is the point that is made. And then he himself, the third point, is glorified entirely. In verse 27, where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. And then the chapter closes. Is he a God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yea, of the Gentiles also, seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. There we got prepositions again. We'll come to that in just a moment. Do we then make the law without? Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid! Yea, we establish law. This is the most concentrated statement in the Bible on the primary doctrines of the Bible, the foundational doctrines. These 10 or 11 verses. I want to read it once again to you. We'll point out a couple of things again. You'll notice verse 21, but let's read it twice. That means we will have read it twice this morning, or we've actually probably three times. But verse 21, it says, "Now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. We see that. It's manifested. So nobody can say, oh, I never knew. You did know. It's manifest. The Old Testament points to it again and again, and God will make certain that you see it yourself before you leave. But it's manifested. The law, Genesis to the Torah, Genesis to Deuteronomy. The prophets, and the prophets can include the historical books. You could also add, because Luke chapter 24 does, you could add the Psalms are full of it. So it's manifested. So that's the point that was made. And then you'll notice it's unto and upon in verse 22. Unto all, you see it, it's presented to you one way or another, how the gospel came to you, in what manner. Was it hearing a sermon? Was it listening to something on YouTube? Was it going to a church? Was it a gospel tract? Was it somebody knocked on your door? Was it a personal witness? But it came to you, because the Bible says the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to every man. Titus 2:11. Christ is the light that lighteneth every man that cometh into the world. John 1:9. Have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, their words into the ends of the world. Romans 10:18. So sooner or later, some more than others, it came to you. But make certain it came upon you, that you opened your heart to it, that you received it. So these prepositions come up a number of times in this section. Unto all and upon all have said. And then you'll notice it's unto all and upon all. It's for everybody, because we all have the same problem. We may have been in that group in chapter 1. We may have been in that group in chapter 2. We may have tried to get out of those three groups that were mentioned in those two chapters, but then we're caught in chapter 3. Because there's none righteous, all have sinned. And so it's for all, because all have sinned. Verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And now we've got a verse with two verses with three very important doctrinal words. Three of the basic doctrinal words for the entire Bible, they're linked together here. It's essential that you understand these words. Now, you can believe on Christ without maybe thinking of the difference. You just believe on Him. But you'll notice three words in verse 24, being justified freely by His grace. Justified is the first word. Through the redemption that is in Christ, that's the second word, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood. Now, those three words, we could present long messages, blessed messages on all three. We'll just give you another word for each of the three. Justify, it's a declaration or a stamping of your passport. It heaven decrees it. You believed on My Son, heaven declares you righteous. It's the word justified is a declaration. It's a declaration. Redemption, it's a purchase. The word is buy. He purchased you. He purchased you. He paid for you. He paid for you with His shed blood. The third word, and this is the word that is just a little... not quite as much on the surface for us. And the word is propitiation. And the word there that describes it is resting. God, because you have been purchased, because you have been declared righteous, can rest in what he has done for you. You can rest in it. It's a resting. In the Old Testament, you had the ark, and the word for propitiation means really mercy seat that covered the Ark of the Covenant that contained the Ten Commandments, and you've broken every one of them. And yet once a year on the Day of Atonement, and this is a type of thing, the type of note that we will be making available to you on Sunday evenings. On the Day of Atonement, blood was shed so that that was a place where God in Old Testament Israel dwelt. He dwelt above the mercy seat. But because of the people's sin, he couldn't dwell there. And once a year, blood was shed. Thankfully for us, it was shed once and for all. But the key verse in the Old Testament was Exodus 25:22, pointing to the mercy seat covering the broken law. But because blood was shed and sprinkled on it, he could say, there I will meet with thee, there I will commune with thee, from above the mercy seat, from between the two the two cherubims. And so it's resting. You can rest now, and God can rest with you. And no more. It's finished. The complete price has been paid. So these three words justify redemption, propitiation. These are the three foundational words of our faith, of our salvation. And so you've got that. And so that's very good. And again, with a lot of other points we could make here, you'll notice that in verse 26, because of this, he can say at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. He is the just justifier. Sometimes when a judge lets a prisoner go free, he's not being just. In this case, it's not like that. He's the just justifier. Again, the matter of boasting, where is boasting? No boasting at all. It is excluded. By what law of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision, but that's a name for the Jews, by faith, and the uncircumcision through faith. And there's two prepositions again. By has the idea that for the Jewish people, it was right there in front of them. They had it. They had the prophets. They were the channel through which the Bible came. They had it. It was right there by them. For us Gentiles, not so simple. We came from a much further distance. Now, God will bring it to us too. But sometimes we had to go through paths that a Jewish person would not have had to go through if they had just accepted their Messiah. By and through probably denotes the distance. A Jew was very close. He had it there. He had the Bible. His prophets were the means through which the Bible was written. His Savior came from the house of Israel. We, not so. So that's not quite the case for us. We had to go through more. But thankfully, we also saw the light. We saw the light. They saw the light, they turned from the light. We saw the light, maybe not quite as directly, but we saw it. And it was enough, because Christ is the light that lighteneth every man that cometh into the world. We have just looked at the heart of the doctrinal heart of Scripture. These verses, if you can get a grasp on verses 21 to 28 to 31, this is the heart of the doctrinal heart of the entire Bible. Keep in mind, to justify means to declare, to redeem means to buy, to purchase, to the propitiation has the idea of resting. He can rest in what he's done for you. You can rest in him. Let's bow.